to prayer. I just appreciate the presence of each one of you tonight. The song service we've already enjoyed. I enjoyed that tonight. Just such a blessing to meet together with God's people when they're joyful in the Lord. I'm sorry to throw a curve to those of you that have been reading along and following along in the scriptures, but we've come to the last psalm that we haven't discussed. We've been doing this for about 3 years. Now, I've got, as far as my notes on my computer, this is the last one I didn't have anything on. It's possible we've discussed it, but I didn't have anything on it. And there's lots of them that I only had a kind of an outline. I'm not sure where we started doing this 2 pages of notes, but regardless, this is the last one. So we're going to cover this one tonight, and we're going to do one more with regard to the Psalms before we move on to something else. I just don't want to leave it without hitting some reminders of what we've encountered as we've gone through the Psalms. I think we might can do it one night. If not, we'll do it in two. But it's kind of become an old friend, hasn't it? But nevertheless, there's plenty more of the scriptures that we haven't covered. And since this is Bible study, then there's plenty more for us to talk about. Psalm 70. There's even a clue in the subtitle, if your Bible has a subtitle to the Psalms, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, to bring to remembrance. That's the point of this psalm. You know, the Apostle Peter, in his second epistle, the theme of that second epistle of Peter is to stir up your mind. Stir up your pure mind by way of what? Remembrance. We need that, don't we? Sometimes our forgetter works better than our rememberer. So we need reminding, don't we? Well, it seems that the Holy Spirit impressed David to give us one of those, because these verses, there's only 5 verses here in this psalm, these same verses you'll encounter in Psalm 40. Okay? So my title I've given it is To Remember Our Need of the Lord. You would think that we wouldn't forget that. But we do. So we have a psalm contained a portion of Psalm 40, and then this psalm, the very same thoughts. Now, the wording is just a little different, but it's the same thoughts. Okay? So the words of this psalm convey the same message as Psalm 40, verses 13 through 17. So there's only 4 verses there, but the wording is a little different, but the thoughts are the same. They both remind us of our need of our God. We need Him every day. All right? Many times we've encountered that thought as we've gone through the Psalms, but we need to be reminded. So verse 1, to the chief musician, a psalm of David to bring to remembrance, a psalm to be used regularly for reminding the congregation of their need of the Lord and their need to sing His praises regularly. We need to do that too, don't we?
Yes, sir.
All right. If the Lord saw fit to repeat these words, then so should we. All right. David says, make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. An urgent plea is lifted up to the one who can help him most in his distress. You know, I think a sign of spiritual maturity is how quickly we turn to the Lord in our troubles. Several times, I know at least, as we've gone through the Psalms, we've talked about the need for that, and the sooner we turn to the Lord, the better off we'll be. Okay? I'm glad you agree. All right? We're on the same page. The way David makes his plea is interesting. He calls upon him as both his God, and the word there is Elohim, okay, the supreme God who's able to deliver at all times, and his Lord, Jehovah, the self-existent, eternal, sovereign, who rules over all of his creation. Now, there's not a whole lot of difference here in these meanings, but they had different words different names for God when they called upon him. And so we have two different names here, Elohim and Jehovah, in one verse. Thus, as he calls upon God to deliver him, he's confident in his almighty power and ability to deliver. We understand that, don't we? God can do all things. That's according to his will. Okay. In his distress, David could call upon God with all the confidence in the world because he already had the experience that God had delivered him many times before. And we've encountered that many times in the Psalms, haven't we? And reading in the life of David, you find that many times God delivered him. Now, you can build up some confidence when you've got experience like that, can't you? Gee, I wonder if that's why we have to go through some trials at times. Do you suppose that when we go through those trials, it strengthens us for the next bump in the road? Then, by asking help of the Lord, he's calling unto the sovereign of all creation and the one who would deal justly between him and all the others. Isn't that wonderful? That God knows all things. He knows it better than we do. He knows all of it. We don't.
He knows the whole story.
That's right. Psalm 15:18 says, well, it just left me. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. He knows it all. He's the sovereign, and he'll do what's right. He'll deal justly. Now that, in our day, to have a guarantee that someone will do justly is precious. We've got so much. I tell you, I don't want to get on a political rant here, but there's just so many things that just aren't right in the world. And that's always been the case, hasn't it? But it just seemed like it's just really been ramped up here in the last few years. But our God is the same. He's holy, and yes, he is in charge. And so no matter what we have to face in this world, no matter what we have to deal with in this world, our God is in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. That's our sanity as we go through our days here. There are plenty of blessings to enjoy, but there's some struggles as well. All right. The Lord is the supreme authority and highest court to which we can appeal our case, and we don't have to worry about whether justice will be served. He will do right. Now, we can rest in that, can't we? We don't have to worry about that in the least. Our God is
glorious. That's probably the only place in this world that we can get that, though, is through God.
Right.
You can't get it in the real world.
That's right. Now, in this plea, David cries to the Lord for him to make haste. Okay? Twice he makes this plea. The needs are urgent, and all of his confidence is firmly set upon the one who can help him against all of his enemies. I tell you, I stand here Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings, and we have those prayer requests, and there's just seems like there's always another name with a dreaded condition. And it seems like whatever that is, nobody has an answer. Oh, they've got things they're going to do. It's not really an answer. David is calling to the one who has all the answers. As David had called upon God in times past, as he had been blessed to see God's power manifested on his behalf, and blessed to see how the Lord worked sovereignly over the will of his enemies, this lesson needs to be taught over and over to bring us into remembrance that God could do that for us as well. It's the same God. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. All right. Verse 2. Let them be ashamed. All right, so he's cried unto God and to his Lord to make haste, to deliver him, to help him. And then he says, let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt. With a clear conscience, David asks the Lord to avenge him of his enemies. But David is not asking for his enemies to be destroyed. Now notice that. If we've got enemies, we're very likely to say, Lord, take care of them. You know, this old flesh would want that to happen, wouldn't it? But David's not asking for the Lord to kill them. And it's something, you know, we judge hastily, don't we? Without all the facts. The Lord knows it all. Okay? All right, so he doesn't ask. He asks the Lord to avenge him of his enemies, but David is not asking for his enemies to be destroyed, but rather let them be ashamed and confounded. It may be that they would later repent of their desire to persecute him. Is that possible? Sure it is. The Bible has many examples.
If the Lord makes it happen, it's
possible. That's right. If the Lord grants repentance, we need to acknowledge that. You know, who would have thought that a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus would be blessed to do what he did later in his life? I mean, when the Lord spoke to Ananias to tell him to baptize him, remember what Ananias said? I could just see him putting his hand up. Lord, I've heard of this man, and you want me to baptize him? The Lord had something else for this man. So, here's wisdom. David's not asking for them to be destroyed. That's up to God. That's not up to us. All right? Let them be ashamed and confounded. It may be It may be that God would later, that they would later repent of their desire to persecute him. At the very least, because David's cause is a just one, they should be ashamed for their desire to hurt him. They should be. They should be. Either way, David knows that those who oppose God and godliness will eventually be confounded. And confusion will be the result of such a course. Thus, David asks the Lord to do it. He's asking for the Lord to take care of his enemies, because the Lord will do it the right way. Okay? Verse 3. Still speaking about his enemies. Let them be turned back for a reward of their shame, that say, aha, aha. They're laughing at him. Notice the attitude expressed by those who wish to do David harm. While their way and deeds are shameful, they do not own up to it. And that's common, isn't it? Those that are going about doing their evil, they don't feel any shame. And quite often, it's like the Bible speaks of the wicked, that there's no fear of God before their eyes. Okay? They're lifted up in their pride and arrogance. So the help for which David asks is for them to be turned back, that they would not advance their evil and hurt others who also are trying to do what's right. David simply asks for the Lord to reward them according to their evil deeds. That's not judging. I mean, we can see if someone's doing evil, but just to simply ask for the Lord to reward them according to their deeds. That's what he's going to do. All right? In righteousness, David is simply asking for the Lord to do what he knows will eventually be done. But he's urgent in his plea. This is not in selfishness, but in zeal and in a desire for righteousness to prevail. Isn't that your desire? When you see the evil in this world, don't you wish that it could be set right? That righteousness would be shown instead of those evil things? As long as we're in this world, we're going to have to put up with that. Someday, we'll be delivered from all of it. And if God gives us grace, we might even be able to have some kind of a positive impact on others. We should certainly be found trying, shouldn't we? Doing our part. All right. Again, we need to be reminded of this, and trust that God will deliver us from evildoers. All right. He's dealt with the wicked. Now he turns to those who wants to do righteousness, who wants to do what's right. He says in verse 4, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Now, something interesting about, I'm going to stop right there. Something interesting about this. Wouldn't you, well, you know the answer to this. Those that know the Lord, we know that if we know him, it's because he loved us first. He gave us his spirit. He quickened us and has given us spiritual life. But for those, wouldn't you expect them to seek the Lord and be glad in him? They're the only ones that can, but do they always? So there's a need for us to exhort one another. There's a need for us to encourage one another. There's a need for us to be stirred up and reminded of the great blessing and privilege we have if the Lord has blessed us. See, this whole psalm is speaking about the need to remember our need of the Lord. Okay? All right. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Okay? Has that been our activity this week? And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Sadly, not everyone who seeks after God's help. Wouldn't it be wonderful if they did? Sure would. Even some of God's people are slow to seek the Lord in their trouble. We said something about that in the beginning of our remarks tonight. But there are blessings to be found in doing so that go beyond deliverance. You see, David is begging for deliverance. Make haste, O Lord, to help me. He's asking for help. He's asking for deliverance. And he asks the Lord to do it quickly. But in seeking the Lord, there's even more blessings than just the deliverance. All right? David asked, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. In going to him and finding the help we need, it teaches us more of the Lord's mercy, love, and faithfulness that he has for us. I hope that as we live our lives, that we are growing in our experience of seeing God's mercy. And maybe you're seeing it in the lives of others, but I hope you're seeing it in your own life. Because that's when it becomes precious to you. He's a personal God. If we grow in our understanding and our experience of God's mercy and his long-suffering and his love, that adds richness to our experience and to our life, and that ought to overflow to others. If we're growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps David and the Old Testament saints were accustomed to thinking in terms of God and his people. That seems to be what we get most often in the Old Testament. But we are blessed today to know him as our Father, whose dealings with his children are for Jesus' sake. Now that is special. Because Jesus is perfect. Perfect in every way. Perfect righteousness. Perfect works. Perfectly satisfying the will of the Father at all times. And we are blessed for Jesus' sake. When we think about that, that makes us glad. Right? It ought to. And thinking on these things causes us to rejoice and be more thankful. We got a holiday coming up in a little while called Thanksgiving. I like that holiday. I enjoy that. But we ought to be thankful every day. I mean, we have plenty. Even if life were hard, and even if life was a tremendous burden to get through each day, if we're blessed to know what Jesus has done for us, we've got something to thank him for, because this is temporary. What Jesus has done for us has obtained eternal redemption. Someday the trials of this life will be over. Whenever I say that, I'm tempted to say there'll be history, but time will be no more. It won't matter. We'll be behind us. So, we think about it, and we think of all that we have in our Lord. Not only what He's accomplished for us, but all the blessings that we receive are through Him. Remember Ephesians 1 and verse 3? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Whatever blessings we receive are for Jesus' sake.
See, we got more to be thankful for than anybody else in the world.
Right.
I mean,
I'll amen that.
Most people don't understand that, but we have.
Yeah. All right. That's right. All right. So, without pausing to consider how blessed we are to have the Lord's help, we don't praise Him as we should for it. If you don't think about it, if you don't remember God's goodness and mercy upon us, we're going to start coming up short in praise. We've got plenty to praise Him for. But when we think of these, then we're more likely to follow on to do as David says next. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. That's what we need to be doing, praising God. All right? David's plea was urgent and earnest. You know, that's the way it gets when you get in trouble, isn't it? Lord, help me now. Make haste. Yeah. That's the way we are when we're in trouble. And we're willing to call upon the Lord and look to Him and ask Him for His help. He also knew that if the Lord was merciful enough to deliver him speedily, then he should also be willing to praise Him speedily. Isn't that right? Even continually.
That's what we should do right there.
Yeah.
Continually.
Right. And, you know, we've got our responsibilities in this world, but we can still have a thankful heart as we go about doing those things. We can still have a thankful demeanor as we interact with others. It shows, doesn't it? Okay. So after all, God is keeping us and delivering us from more than we realize. The longer I live, the more I'm convinced of that. You know, perhaps everybody in this room can think of at least one time, perhaps many times, when the Lord was in the place and you knew it not, that you were delivered by the grace of God. You need to think about that. You need to remember that. Because that's what brings forth praise through our lips to God. Because He's been merciful to us. So have you thought about that lately? Those times when the Lord delivered you? So magnify Him regularly. He can't be any greater than He is, can He? No, can't be any greater than He is, but He can be magnified by us before others to a far greater extent than we do. And I'll just pause here and ask you the question. Do you think that you could squeeze out a little more praise than you have so far this week? So this psalm is reminding us of our need of the Lord. And when we're in that frame of mind, we're more apt to be thankful for it. And more apt to praise Him. That's what we need. All right? Psalms 107, verse 8. I just put verse 8 here, but there's four verses in Psalm 107 that says the same thing. It's almost like a chorus to a psalm. It's about every seven or eight verses. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. We ought to be doing that, shouldn't we? Praising the Lord for His goodness. Without His goodness, we wouldn't have the grace that we have. All right, last verse, verse 5. But, let me read verse 4 again. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Is that your case? When we're thinking like we should, it's our case. When we're not thinking about it, we sometimes are not so humble, are we? It's a good spiritual barometer. How we react to the slightest things, need to take note of that. David said, I am poor and needy. Now, we've talked about the experience that David had with the Lord, the many deliverances David has had, the joy David's experienced, the blessing, the mercy, the grace. And so, he's exhorting those that that seek the Lord to rejoice and be glad in Him. He says, but I am poor and needy. Even though David's plea is urgent and earnest, his humility causes him to remember his unworthiness. Being humble before the Lord is necessary. And we need to remember. We're talking about the need for remembrance. We need to remember that if it weren't for God's grace, we wouldn't have any of the blessings, any of the knowledge that we have. He had mercy on us. We're the recipients of grace. The longer I live, the more I appreciate grace. Don't you? One of the sweetest words I know. Grace. All right? So, David remembers his unworthiness. And it's humbling, isn't it? To remember, we're not worthy. But that's what grace is all about. God is worthy. But He reached down to where we were, as far down as He needed to reach, and lifted us up. Even gave us His Son to die in our room instead, because we've sinned and come short of His glory. All right, so David remembers his unworthiness. And oh, how thankful we are that God does not require the goodness from us. We are, as David said, poor and needy. Poor in the sense that nothing we have could pay for our sins nor bring us into favor with the Lord. Nothing. Okay? We were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Peter said that in 1 Peter 1:18. Nor could we ever be. Never could. Also, we're needy because we've sinned and come short of the glory of God. We sin daily, we're so prone to wonder. As the poet said, remember that song, come thou fount of every blessing. The author of that song, well, part of the lyrics there, it says we're prone to wonder. Aren't we? I heard the story behind that song. Have you heard that? I've heard a couple of variations, so, you know, we may not get it exactly right, but this man did wander away. The man that wrote that song did wander away from the Lord later in life. And he was on a train, I believe, going somewhere, and a lady had a copy of that song, a book or something. And she asked him, had he ever seen that song? He's the author of it. And he was so convicted by his own words, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. This old flesh will do that to you if you're not careful. Not only the flesh, but this world system and the devil himself. I tell you, we need the Lord every day.
Every second of every
day. There you go. All right. We are prone to wander. All right. And we're weak. We're not nearly as strong as we think we are. We need the Lord's help every step of our way to guide us and strengthen us to do more of His will. I don't think I said it, but that's the safest place for us. That's the place of the most joy that you could expect in this world, is to be in the will of God. David knew this all too well. And so as he makes his plea, he also acknowledges his weak and unworthy condition. That should be a part of our every prayer, shouldn't it? But that didn't keep him from calling to the Lord for help. No, he didn't deserve it, but experience had taught him that God was merciful, long-suffering, loving, and gracious, and we could keep going on and on, couldn't we? So he says, make haste unto me, O God. There's boldness in that request. But as long as we remember our unworthiness, trust, and follow his will, we can properly make such a plea. Many times David had proved the Lord's faithfulness and had found help. Has that been your experience?
Yes, sir.
Not saying that all of life is happy, and but the Lord is faithful. He's far more faithful to us than we are to Him, isn't He? All right, David then says, thou art my help and my deliverer. He's the help and the helper at all times. Do you hear his confidence? Do you hear faith talking here? David knew, as we need to learn, that there's no help like that which the Lord can give to his people that call to him. No better help. Just like Psalm 23 said, there's no better shepherd, there's no better help. Okay?
That's like the days when we start out and we don't handle it ourselves. When we get in the road and can't go no further, then we ask God. I mean, that's the human way
right.
of doing it. We ask God to come get us out of the ditch. I mean, you know, we don't get far as we can go. And we got to have some help now, and God's the only one that can help us.
That's right. That's right. So as the psalm closes, once again, David has made his address to his God and Lord. his God with all power can deliver him. Then he says, O Lord, make no tarrying. As Lord, that is supreme authority, it's his sovereign right to do as he pleases. You know, that's part of what keeps us humble. Kind of like the Hebrew children were about to be thrown into the furnace. They didn't know whether God would deliver them or not, but they were trusting him anyway. And oh, what a deliverance they had. We love that story, don't we? I mean, God, he could have done all manner of things to keep them out of that furnace. He didn't choose to do that. Why not, Lord? He had something better. What could have been better for them to go into that furnace where those that threw them in were consumed by the flame, and yet it had no hurt on them whatsoever, not even the smell of smoke? That is tremendous. That's something better, isn't it? Not only that, but that old heathen king. That king who had said, and who is that God that can deliver you out of my hand? God just took occasion to show him. He did.
He shows us sometimes too.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, he can show us pretty good too.
But he showed him not only that they were delivered, but he looked in there and said, didn't we cast in three? Lo, I see four. And the fourth is likened to what? The Son of God. He showed him a lot, didn't he? All right. So as Lord, supreme authority, it is his sovereign right to do as he pleases. But faith and faithfulness enable us to boldly ask for the Lord, ask for the help we need. Now, we're running out of space there. Faith and faithfulness. If we haven't been faithful, we're more sheepish when we go to the Lord in prayer, aren't we? We lose the boldness when we haven't been doing what we should. But when we've been faithful, knowing he's faithful, there's boldness there, isn't there? Hebrews 4, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Boldly, not arrogantly, but trusting. Trusting. We have the right to do that because of the Lord Jesus Christ.
All right. And as we get older, we want to do it more. I think that's my experience. As I get older, I want to do better than I have done.
Yeah.
I mean, we want to do good as we can.
Right.
For what time we got left.
That's right. So there's some motivation there when you feel like that you got less time. All right. But faith and faithfulness enable us to boldly ask for the help we need. So, be glad in him for his salvation. You need to remind yourself of that, don't you? Keep it in remembrance. Encourage others. All right? Be glad in him for his salvation and constantly say, let God be magnified. A great psalm to help us remember our need of the Lord. All right. Yeah. All right.